We call today's unrest a war on terror. It is an uneasy period. Some call it a false war, meaning that for Western nations, life largely goes on as usual without the sacrifice that previous generations made, as whole nations mobilized and made large sacrifices to put resources into all-out efforts to wage war. What's the meaning of the headline news of your world? You're listening to Longitude. It's Monday, March 6th, 2006. I'm Darris McNeely. Many hope that life can return to normal, a kind of pre-9/11 period, before the attacks upon America on September 11th, 2001. But I don't think that's likely, and a lot of other people don't as well. Many observers feel that the world has entered a time from which there is no retreat. If we're to understand where it leads, we need to also understand the prophecies of your Bible. Those prophecies tell us a great deal about today's world, where it's heading, and perhaps more importantly, what you and I need to be doing in light of that knowledge. Right in front of us today, there are major events that are taking shape and leading to what the Bible calls a time of trouble unlike any that the world has ever seen. There's a key verse, actually two, that I want to talk about here. One of them is in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, where at the end of a number of prophecies in the book of Daniel, it is said to Daniel that at that time, and it's speaking of the time of the end, the time that we know of from other scriptures that will precede the period prior to the return of Jesus Christ, it says, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered. Now this prophecy in Daniel paints quite a scene. Today, we see a number of events in the daily news that are taking us deeper into a new period of world governance. Conflict continues to simmer in the critical areas of the Middle East, where Iraq threatens to erupt into civil war, and Iran pushes forward its plans to develop nuclear weapons. There's another scripture that I'd like to refer to and take a minute with, and that's over in the book of Matthew 24. This is Christ's Olivet prophecy. This is one of the key prophecies that Christ uttered and gave some specific details to a question that was put to him by his disciples as to what would be the signs of his coming and of the end of the age. And we begin in verse 3, where Christ was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and this question was put to him by his disciples. And in verse 4, Christ answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." In verse 6, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." But Christ foretold here a period of wars and conflict that would be taking place. That, in one sense, can be said as, well, it's always happened, and that's true. There have been wars ever since the first humans were on the earth. But Christ was speaking to a time that would be unprecedented as well, and a time of increasing conflict among nations. We go further into this prophecy down in verse 21, and he gets more specific, and he says, "Then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." And so Matthew 24, verse 21, we can link with Daniel 12 and verse 1 of a period of world strife and conflict that will be unlike any other. Christ goes further in verse 22, and he says, "Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." And so again, these verses point us to a time of strife and world trouble unlike any that the world has ever seen. Are we in that period of time? Exactly what's taking place around us today as we look at it in our world? The Bible speaks of other key or specific events. It talks about the day of the Lord. We've mentioned here this verse that talks about the tribulation. In Revelation chapter 16, it even speaks of a time or a battle that is called the battle of the great day of God Almighty. In Revelation chapter 6, Christ shows it there in the revelation of the opening of the seals, a seal that is very similar and parallels what is mentioned here in Matthew 24 of a horseman of war. There in Revelation chapter 6, it speaks of the ride of a red horse which is understood to be a time of war and great conflict that rides out across the world, leaving in its wake a trail of events that will escalate to these key events. So these verses really point us to a time that is going to be an all-encompassing period of great strife and trial upon the world. Sometimes, as I look at what we are dealing with in the headlines of our world today and the events that are taking place, I wonder if we might not be seeing the effect of the opening of this particular seal and some of the events that we're seeing right before our eyes that are shaping our present world. You know, there are a couple that I would like to talk about specifically in this podcast, and one deals with the subject of nuclear terrorism. When you look at Matthew 24 and the statements that Christ said about a time of trouble that would bring the world to a point where, if it were possible, that unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, we're obviously talking about a period when nuclear war, nuclear weapons would be available with the potential to wipe all life off the face of the earth. That wasn't possible in Christ's time. Some people look at Matthew 24 and say, well, he was speaking of events in his time, there, the first century, and the subsequent time. But there was not the weapons, there wasn't the ability to wipe all flesh, human flesh, off the face of the earth during that period of time. That has only happened since the advent of the atomic age and nuclear weapons that have proliferated around the world. We've had two nuclear bombs dropped upon cities at the end of World War II, and thankfully that has not happened since then. But yet we realize we are living in some very dangerous times with the threat of nuclear terrorism. We still have a very, very dangerous world in which we live. In the 2004 presidential election, both candidates, George Bush and John Kerry, were asked to define the single most serious threat to American national security. Both of those men answered at that time that it was nuclear terrorism that was the number one threat to American security. And that is very true. There's no question about that, and that has heightened, the risk has heightened since that presidential election. A number of people recognize this. One is a Harvard professor named Graham Allison, who has written a book entitled Nuclear Terrorism. And his frank statement is that he expects a nuclear attack on United States soil within the next 10 years. He said that it is a very high probability. Former Secretary of Defense William Perry put the odds for nuclear terrorism by the year 2010 to be at 50-50. There would be a 50-50 chance, in other words, within 4 years, that a terrorist attack of nuclear proportions could be unleashed upon American soils. And so we see this be a great time of stress. And we wonder at times if political leaders who insist that the United States return to a normality, and there is this wish for that, but I wonder if it really can take place with more than 30,000 nuclear weapons extant around the world, and quite likely, very possibly, some of those nuclear weapons are already into the hands of terrorists who wish this country and other Western nations no good. They wish us a great deal of harm, and given the opportunity, they could insert such a nuclear device into some type of a delivery system that could be set off within the population centers of our Western nations in America, in Britain, in France, or in Germany, and destroy hundreds of thousands of lives in an instant. They have the motive to murder. They've already shown that. Many terrorists have. Islamic terrorists have shown that. Now, whether or not they are able to grab the material to build a bomb and the means to get that into the United States or other nations is the big question. Many people ask that. Some people recognize that it is a very real threat. And others perhaps stick their head into the sand and don't really want to imagine the consequences of that. Mr. Allison, Graham Allison, who wrote this book, Nuclear Terrorism, feels very strongly that we are living on borrowed time. You know, I want to make another comment about a topic I covered last week in my podcast, and that's the ports controversy that is still on the table in the United States, where Dubai Ports World has purchased the rights to manage six American ports from a British company, And that has created an uproar in many circles for a number of reasons, and I talked about that last week. But really, when you look at what they are doing and looking at that, it's part of a larger story, as I said then, about globalization. But despite what is said by the president and by other officials, there are many voices saying that there is a very real danger in allowing an Arab company that is basically a part of an Arab government, the Dubai Ports World, or the government of Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, to let them come into our country and manage the port's facilities. Now, I know it's been said by many that there's no danger, that the Coast Guard, the American Coast Guard, is responsible for port security, and it is, and that it is American longshoremen who will be offloading all of the container ships that come into the ports, and that's true. But there's no question, and many realize this, that the company that manages the ports, and in this case we're talking about an Arab country in a very dangerous neighborhood, Dubai Ports World, will have access to the security measures, the security details that take place in that given port. It's a part of the job. It's what will have to take place. And so many realize that at some point, someone in those companies could leak information to groups, to terrorist groups, who might have an in and see a way by which they could bring into this country and into those port areas some type of a nuclear device that could wreak havoc in our cities, or at least in the one city and area into which it would come. It's interesting that a fuss is being made now. Much of the opposition is grounded in partisan politics rather than an honest assessment of the facts and the inherent danger of having a foreign power in such a high profile at critical points where cargo and goods enter the nation. The ports are not secure, and there is a very real threat of a dirty bomb coming through. A few years ago, 1998, I believe it was, when America finally left the Panama Canal and turned over control to the Panamanians by the treaty that had been signed back in the 1970s, at that time, the Panamanian government leased operating control of the Panama Canal to a Chinese company called Hutchison Whampoa. This is another national type company that Hutchison Whampoa manages many, many major ports and operations around the world, but it's a Chinese company, and it is, again, as many other countries have such arrangements, Hutchison Whampoa is very much connected to China Incorporated. It is a part of the government almost in the way things operate in that area. So here we had, at the Panama Canal, a Chinese company controlling and operating the entrance and the exits to that canal. Many people raised the voice of concern at that time, but it was too late because the treaty was already signed. That could prove to be a crippling problem for American interests in the future if, in a time of war, they were to deny, or American ships would be denied access to the Panama Canal and the ease of movement from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic or back and forth in that way. It is too late for that, but nobody really raised much of a fuss at that particular time. The Panama Canal is something that, like many other ports and critical areas of the world, like Hong Kong, like the Straits of Malacca, like the Suez Canal, are what we call the gates of the enemy. They are something that is prophesied and was mentioned in the Bible to have been a blessing, a birthright, part of the birthright blessing that God gave to the descendants of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 24 and verse 60, you can read where it was promised to the descendants of Abraham that they would increase to thousands upon thousands, and that their offspring would possess the gates of their enemies. Now, history proved that prophecy to be correct, because the descendants of Abraham and the modern nations of America and Great Britain did possess many critical gates, sea gates, such as Hong Kong, such as Suez, such as the Panama Canal, at one time in their history over the last few hundred years, controlling those areas for many different reasons as part of the whole story of global dominance, global trade, and power projection that took forth, that went out. Well, we have peeled back from all of those. Our ports today, in one sense, are still our gates. They're not the gates of our enemies, but they are our gates. And now we are opening them up and have opened up many others before this current fuss has come up to management by foreign companies. It's amazing to think why we would even allow this to happen. You have to ask the question, where are the companies in America that could manage these ports? Only a global thinking mindset would allow this to take place, and it has. And so we are opening up our gates to other foreign countries at this particular time, long after we have peeled back from these gates of our enemies that were given to us and that did play a very critical role. If you haven't read the portion of our booklet, The United States and Great Britain in Prophecy, that does talk more specifically about these sea gates and their critical import to the history of our two countries, America and Great Britain, and the Bible prophecy, I suggest that you do so, give you more detail at that particular point. The Bible is a source of information about our present world and the major events in our daily headlines. You can understand where today's news is leading our world and what the prophecies of our Bible have to say. This podcast, Longitude, is designed to help you understand not only where our world is heading, but what you can do in response to these major world events. These events are getting closer to our lives. They're changing our world, and you need to know how to react. Bible prophecy is not about secret knowledge gleaned from the scriptures. It's about what God tells us to do with our lives to experience the blessings from this life and to give us hope that He is in control of the world and that He is bringing it to a time when all nations will come together to worship Him and to work together in harmony. There will be a time when all peoples will have the opportunity to live out their life and to achieve their full potential. We can understand that when we understand Bible prophecy. But in the meantime, it's important that we watch and that we understand what is taking place. Most importantly, we watch so that we may be motivated to change to good works. I'll have more about this subject and more to say along these lines and analyzing some of the events that are taking place right now in our world in my next podcast. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.